Good day to you, friends and fiends. It's time for more Dune hysterical literature. I know I've been keeping you all waiting for a while for part five, so I'm just gonna jump right into it. Turn my vibrator on. New vibrator, thank God. So let's see. I think I'll put it on setting two. There we go. This is like the perfect setting for me. Okay. Let's see. All right. Paul had his hand in the box. Let's see. I'll start with this old woman saying something as ridiculous as, "Pain," she sniffed. "A human can override any nerve in the body." Paul felt his left hand aching, uncurled the clenched fingers, looked at four bloody marks where fingernails had bitten his palm. He dropped the hand to his side, looked at the old woman. "You did that to my mother once?" "Ever sift sand through a screen?" she asked. The tangential slash of her question shocked his mind into a higher awareness. "Sand through a screen," he nodded. Now I'm all insecure about how to pronounce this, but I'm going to keep going. "We bean Gesserit sift people to find the humans." He lifted his right hand, willing the memory of the pain. "And that's all there is to it? Pain?" "I observed you in pain, lad." "Pain's merely the axis of the test. Your mother's told you about our ways of observing. I see the signs of her teaching in you. Our test is crisis and observation." He heard the confirmation in her voice, said, "It's the truth." She stared at him. He senses truth. Could he be the one? Could he truly be the one? She extinguished the excitement, reminding herself, "Hope clouds observation. You know when people believe what they say," she said. "I know it." The harmonics of ability confirmed by repeated tests were in his voice. She heard them, said, "Perhaps you are the Kwisatz Haderach. Sit down, little brother, here at my feet. I prefer to stand." "Oh, fuck. Your mother sat at my feet once. I'm not my mother." "You hate us a little, eh?" She looked toward the door, called out, "Jessica." The door flew open and Jessica stood there, staring hard-eyed into the room. Hardness melted from her as she saw Paul. She managed a faint smile. "Jessica, have you ever stopped hating me?" the woman asked. "I both love and hate you," Jessica said. "The hate, that's from pains I must never forget." "The love, that's just the basic fact," the old woman said, but her voice was gentle. "You may come in now, but remain silent. Close that door, and mind it that no one interrupts us." "Jessica!" Jessica stepped into the room, closed the door, and stood with her back to it. "Ah, my son lives," she thought. "My son lives and is human. I knew he was, but he lives. Now I can go on living." The door felt hard and real against her back. Everything in the room was immediate and pressing against her senses. "My son lives." Paul looked at his mother. She told the truth. He wanted to get away alone and think this experience through, but knew he could not leave until he was dismissed. The old woman had gained a power over him. They spoke truth. His mother had undergone this test. There must be terrible purpose in it. The pain and fear had been terrible. He understood the terrible purposes. They drove against all odds. They were their own necessity. Paul felt that he had been infected with terrible purpose. He did not know yet what the terrible purpose was. Someday, lad, the old woman said, you too may have to stand outside a door like that. It takes a measure of doing. Paul looked down at the hand that had known pain, then up to the Reverend Mother. The sound of her voice had contained a difference than from any other voice in his experience. The words were outlined in brilliance. There was an edge to them. He felt that any question he might ask would bring an answer that could lift him out of his flesh world into something greater. Why do you test for humans? He asked. To set you free. Free? Once men turned their thinking over to machines in the hope that this would set them free. But that only permitted other men with machines to enslave them. Thou shalt not make a machine in the likeness of a man's mind, Paul quoted. Right out of the Baudelairean Jihad and the Orange Catholic Bible, she said. But what the OC Bible should have said is, thou shalt not make a machine to counterfeit a human mind. Have you studied the Mentat in your service? I've studied with Tufir Hawat. The Great Revolt took away The Great Revolt took away a church, she said. It forced human minds to develop schools where it started to train human talents. Bene Gesserit schools. She nodded. We have two chief survivors of those ancient schools. The Bene Gesserit and the Spacing Guild. Oh God. To the guild. I can't read. The guild, so we think, emphasizes almost pure mathematics. No! The vibrator died? What? No. Okay, hold on. I must have pushed the button. Okay. Oh God, I was so close. No! The guild, so we think, emphasizes almost pure mathematics. Bene Gesserit performs another function. Politics, he said. Cool Wahad, the old woman said. She sent a hard glare at Jessica. I've not told him, Your Reverence, Jessica said. No, okay, this vibrator is dying. This is terrible. Okay, I have my other one right here. This is gonna get messy. Oh God, fuck. Okay. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I hate this. Okay. Ha ha. Oh, God. Where am I? Where was I? I have not told him, Your Reverence, Jessica said. The Reverend Mother returned her attention to Paul. You did that on remarkably few clues, she said. Politics, indeed. The original Bene Gesserit school was directed by those who saw the need of a thread of continuity in human affairs. Oh God, I can't. Yes. Oh fuck. Oh fuck, yes. Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so lightheaded. Oh, fuck. Okay. I guess I gotta charge my other vibrator. I have been using it a lot since I got it. Okay. Okay. All right. I don't know what to say. Thanks for listening. More to come.